Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is awesome. He's amazing. He's faithful to us. Amen. Another season is wrapping up. Another season is rolling in. And I'm really thankful to the Lord for everything that He has done for us and for everything that He's still doing in all of our lives. For the last 7 months, we have been studying together. It's actually longer than 7 months because if you count some of the breaks that we took and there, it's been well over 7 months, but this is one of the culminations of all of our studies throughout all the last the past several months. Before I share a word of prayer, I want to take a moment to thank you for being a part of our Bible studies and these services that we have titled Time of Ministry in the Word of God. It has truly been a joy getting around the Word of God together with God's people and just studying together and breaking bread, the manna of the Word of God together. Digging deeper and deeper into revelation, divine revelation of God's truth. And what a blessing if you have been with us for any amount of time in this process. I really want to express my gratitude to you and for your diligence. Your diligence in studying with us, your diligence in meeting with us every Wednesday, like you have done. And thank you for making the time. I know we live in very busy times. The world we live in is an extremely busy world. And for many of you who are involved in so many different aspects of life, your own lives and other people's lives, family members, sometimes parents, sometimes children, sometimes siblings, sometimes even other people that are not necessarily related to us by blood. And then we have our jobs and so many other commitments that we are obligated to be a part of every week. And so to make time out diligently every week to study the Word of God and to sit around the Word, maybe your TV sets or your devices, phones, iPads, whatever you use, however you connect with us, that is really a blessing. I'm so thankful, so very thankful. I really appreciate your diligence. Many of you are around here in the continental United States. There are a number of you that are outside of the United States. And some of you join us through our video platforms. Some of you join us through other ways, our podcasts and things like that. It has been a blessing. It's blessed my heart a lot just to know that on the other side of the camera, every week, there are other people that are participating with us as we endeavor to grow together. And what have we been learning about? We titled this one this year, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. And I know personally, I can attest to the fact that in my own personal experience, as we have studied and I have been diligent to pay a lot of attention to the things that we are studying together, it's not just theoretical for me. And I know for many of you, it's exactly the same way. It's not theoretical. You diligently study and then you diligently apply these things to your lives. Because of that, our lives have been elevated. And God isn't done yet. He's still working with us. He's still working on us. But we are in a very, very good place. We are well, very well on our way. So I congratulate you. And I thank you for being a part of all of our Bible studies this year in 2025. I pray that these words that you and I have received will continue to reverberate in our spirit beings, and we will continue to lay hold on the manner of the word and continue to grow thereby. We still have some time to do some revision. We might take a little break and then get back to other things that are related to this as new seasons roll in. But in tonight's service, I just really wanted to take a minute to thank you and to try to put a cap on this series of teachings for now, until the Lord gives us the liberty to get back to it and to build on what some of the things that we have already learned together. So let's bow our heads, share a word of prayer together, and then I just want to spend a little time in the Word of God and wrap this up and close us out tonight. Amen. Father, we are ever so thankful to you, and words will never be sufficient to thank you, to express our gratitude to you for everything that you have done for us right through this season, all these many months, as we have diligently stayed around your word, feasting on the word and receiving the word and growing in the word. Our lives have been the better for it. We are not worse. We are not worse as a result of the words that we have received. And we're not in the same place. Our lives are better for it. We thank you very much. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for always being here with us. You have been our great teacher. You have given us illumination. You've given us great light. You've enabled us to walk in clarity, in understanding. And we're so thankful. We're so very thankful to you, Father. Thank you for all that you've done. I thank you especially for all of my brothers, my sisters, everyone that has joined us week after week. For any amount of time, people that have joined us to study your word together. I'm praying for them tonight, for them and for their families, their loved ones. I know that there is a hunger in their hearts. That's why they come around the word. There's a desire to know you more, to grow closer to you, to walk closer with you. And so, Father, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them that these words, as these words continue to spring like a river, fountain of water within their spirit, like wells, and rivers of life, like Jesus said. I'm praying, Father, that the full benefits of these words will be manifest, will be evident in their lives. All of us, as we have gone from a place where we knew a lot about the concept of mind renewal, but we knew that there was so much more that we could learn to benefit our lives. And that's what you have helped us experience over the last several months, that we have just grown so much in this area of renovating our minds. Father, we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back to where we're coming from, where we used to think. Sometimes we thought like the world. Sometimes we thought like other believers who just didn't really have clarity or revelation in your word. We have learned, and the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is also required. So we know you expect so much more of us. And we commit, Father, to continuing to work diligently in these words and to continue to put them to practice, to do the do's of the word of God, to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the same. And Lord, I receive grace for every one of us, all of my brothers and sisters, everyone. Lord, we receive grace tonight that we will engage continually and that the word will produce in all of our lives. I give you praise, Father. I thank you. I thank you so very much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I thank you so much again for being with us all of this month. And thank you again for being with us tonight. I just want to put a cap on some of our studies. Before I do that, in Psalms 103, I wanted to read Psalms 103. It's a popular psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord tonight. We remember his benefits. Remember his goodness. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 55, that has been our theme scripture for this series of studies. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. The Lord said, the word of God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God is prospering in all of our lives as you renovate your mind continually in the word of God, with the word of God. You and I are elevated to experience days of heaven on earth. The tangible blessings of the word of God, the tangible life of God, becomes manifest in every one of our lives. We are truly blessed to know our God. We are truly blessed to be called His children. We are truly blessed to have His word, His precious word, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels. This treasure, what a blessing. And as we continue on, as we have done the last several months, we will experience days of heaven on the earth. Our lives will be elevated. Amen. We will experience the life of God. We'll lay hold on our inheritance. Amen. And we will continue on diligently. That's actually the cap that I'm going to do tonight. The diligence. This is the last couple of steps in renovating the mind. The diligence that is required to continue on, to not quit, to not stop, to not go back, but to continue on, like the Bible says in Hebrews, to diligently pursue and to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. To not be slothful, but to be diligent, to not go back, to not live like we didn't receive a revelation that has called us up to live a better quality of life. Amen. But to be diligent, to continue to follow on and to follow through. Hallelujah. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Hallelujah. Well, how do we do that? How do we engage with the mind of Christ? How do we walk in the reality of the mind of Christ? Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but power, love, sound mind." Amen. We have received that. How do we walk in the reality of that sound mind in our day-to-day lives? That's a lot of what we have been studying over the last several months. And the number of steps, I'm not going to do any major revision tonight. We have revised pretty much just about every single service. So tonight I'm just going to mention and then go towards the end of what I have tonight. Amen. What the Lord has put in my heart. But these are the steps we have identified to brainwash our minds with the truth of the word of God continually. Amen. Hallelujah. To reformat and reprogram our minds with the word of God, to flood the zone of our minds with God's word. Amen. Number three, to walk in obedience to every instruction that God gives us, to do the do's. Amen. The instruction of love and every other command, every other instruction that we have received. Number four, to take control of our headspace. Amen. To take control and determine the thoughts we allow in and the thoughts we don't allow in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To take control of our headspace. To remember to cast down certain thoughts that Satan tries to use to infiltrate our minds. Our minds are given to us by God. Satan should not have any right. He should not have any right to plant. Yeah, he'll try. He's always going to try. But trying doesn't mean we give him access. Amen. Take control of our headspace. Number five, to put a bridle or a restraint over our mouth. And I will say, to determine carefully and diligently what we listen to with our ears. This was really the last one that we spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks. Hallelujah. The words we hear have a great impact on our minds. The words we hear other people speak and the words we hear ourselves speak. Amen. So where other people are concerned, it is very important that we put a filter on our ears. As the same way that we're putting a bridle over our mouth so that we can determine that we are intentionally positive in the words that we speak always. In that same way, to put a filter over our ears. Put a filter over our ears so that we can always determine what we listen to and what we reject, what we don't listen to. Because the words that we hear have a great impact on our minds. We studied this extensively. You remember that scripture in Acts chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, where some people came, Paul and Barnabas were teaching the word of God, ministering the word of God to a group of Gentiles, and some people came, some Jews came, who came to speak negative words about what Paul and Barnabas were ministering, to the extent that they poisoned and embittered the minds of the Gentiles. The words we hear, the words we listen to, have a great potential to either elevate us, as in edify us, build us up, or they can tear us down. Words that we hear sometimes can sow seeds of defeat and failure. We should not be listening to words of failure. We should not be listening to words of defeat. We should not be listening to words of strife and words of words that are not rooted in the word of God. Hallelujah. We should put a filter on our ears and make a mandate, make a commitment to not allow just any words go through our, and sometimes we hear things because our ears are always open, but you judge those things that hear, just like we did with our thoughts. We were saying in taking control of your headspace, where we judge those words that we hear. Like we hear something and this is not edifying. This is not elevating my mind. This is not drawing me closer to the Lord. This is actually sowing a seed of hurt, or a seed of pain, or a seed of unbelief, or a seed of doubt, or a seed of double-mindedness, or all of those negative seeds, or seeds of fear, anxiety, and panic. Well, then that filter that I put on my ears ought to help me just stop those words. They go in one ear and they go out the other ear, and I immediately move on. Well, somebody can wonder how do you do that? Because that's a skill you have to grow in. That is a skill you have to grow in. You have to grow in that skill. It's not going to happen automatically. Many times, once words come into our ears, the tendency is those words form thoughts, and those thoughts settle in our minds. And unless we do something about those words immediately, they are going to take hold in our minds, and they're going to determine what happens in our lives next. But you may remember the story of this gentleman. I think he's in the book of Mark, but I read the one in the Gospel according to Luke just very recently. And I really like that. I'm going to read it out to you in Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. I think his name Jairus. Remember that man who came to the Lord? Let me read to you. I want to read this to you from Luke chapter 8. We can talk about having a filter in our ears, determining what we allow ourselves to listen to and all of that. Sometimes words just come when you don't have a control over the people who are speaking those words or the channels. You could be in a place and you hear words. And those words could be words that do not line up with the counsel of God for you. And those words could be words that try to come into your mind and try to take hold of your mind and sow negative thoughts in there. What do we do? What do we do? I really love the story of Jethro, and I want to read this from Luke chapter 8. I want to read this. I believe it was Luke chapter 8. And let's start from verse 40. It came to pass, Luke chapter 8 from verse 40, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter. He had only one daughter who was about 12 years of age, and she was dying. This daughter was dying. But as Jesus went to go and minister to this young girl, people were thronging him. So the woman with the issue of blood, this was where she came in, a woman with an issue of blood in verse 43, spent all her living on physicians. She came behind him, touched the border of his garment. Immediately the issue of her blood stanched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And disciples said, "Everybody's thronging. They are pushing on you. How can you say?" Jesus said, "No, somebody touched me." Hallelujah. And this woman eventually came forward and she said, "I touch you." And Jesus said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." Verse 48, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, returning to the story of Jairus, who that's where we started from before this woman with the issue of blood came and touched the garment of Jesus. In verse 49, while he yet spoke, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, from Jairus' house, saying to him, "Your daughter is now dead. Don't trouble the master." Jairus didn't have any control over that report that was brought to him. He couldn't have stopped that person from giving him the report, right? Even if he tried, he couldn't have stopped that person. That person would, most of the time, will tell you what they want to tell you. However, when Jairus heard those words, the Lord Jesus Christ immediately gave him an instruction. Because those words that Jairus had the power or the potential to do something to his mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ immediately recognized that. And he said unto, I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read this part of it from the Amplified. I love it. It's just been reverberating through my spirit right through the day. In verse 50, in the Amplified version of the Bible, but Jesus, on hearing this, he heard the same thing that Jairus had. Now, I want you to see the difference between Jesus and Jairus. That's why I said to you earlier on, it takes a measure of skill. But you and I can develop that skill. If we couldn't, Jesus would not have given this instruction to Jairus. Every believer, every child of God can develop this skill. We have the mind of Christ. We can take control of our head space. We can determine what stays in there, what doesn't. We may not be able to determine everything we hear, even with that filter that we put on. Sometimes things just come and we hear things or we receive reports. We may not be able to stop that, but we can immediately determine what happens to those words that come to us and how we let them impact our mind and how we let them impact the rest of our lives. Listen to this in verse 50, Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, the Amplified. But Jesus, on hearing this, just like Jairus had, they both heard the same thing. But Jesus did something different with what he heard. Jesus, on hearing this, answered him. Now, Jairus didn't say anything, but the Bible says Jesus answered him. So that means something was already happening in Jairus' mind. The words that Jairus had were already creating thoughts in his mind, and words were beginning to fill his mind. Thoughts of doubt, thoughts of fear, thoughts of failure, thoughts of pain, based on the words that he heard. But Jesus said this. Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Simply believe." Simply believe. Do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Simply believe in me as being able to do this, and she shall be made well. Now, I'm going to look for the 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 this story in Mark, I haven't read it in a while, so you have to bear with me. I have to look for it. I believe it's in Mark, is in Mark chapter 5. But in that, in the rendition, in the Gospel of Mark, actually, some words were used, the Jesus from the Amplified Version, that are so powerful. Exactly what we're talking about tonight. When these words come, things we hear, things we see, there's a power within us to immediately determine, what do we want to do with that? Some things we hear and some things we see, we have to train ourselves to ignore. Some things we hear and some things we see, we must train ourselves to immediately reject. And some things we hear and some things we see, we must immediately receive and begin to give God praise. This comes with training over time, but the earlier you start this process, the better. The better it will be for you. Every believer must learn this skill. Now, I want you to see what happened in the Luke rendition, in the Mark, the Gospel of Mark rendition. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 35, I'm going to read this from the Amplified. While he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house who said to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further?" Those words immediately sowed a certain set of seeds in the mind of Jairus. Verse 36, overhearing, that's Jesus now, overhearing but ignoring what they said. Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep on believing." These words, Jesus was not the one being spoken to directly. That's why the Bible says overhearing. He overheard it. They came and spoke to the ruler, to Jairus. But Jesus overheard, and Jesus immediately called his attention. Jesus said, "Do not be struck. Don't be seized with alarm. Don't be struck with fear." Amen. Amen. Don't let those words that you just heard, don't let them settle in your mind. But you make the decision to ignore those words and to keep on believing. Don't be seized with alarm and don't be struck with fear. Only keep on believing. That means the words that you hear can strike fear into you. The words you hear can bring all sorts of negative emotions to you. But you also have the power to ignore those words. And the more you grow in this skill, the more renovated your mind will be and the more elevated your life will be. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Jesus heard it, but he immediately dismissed it and he ignored it. And the skill, if I was saying earlier on, you know, somebody could say, "But Pastor, you know, I tried, that's tough. I don't know how." Well, you can do it. But you have to train your mind. The mind can be trained. It's like the body can be trained, your mind can be trained. You have to train your mind to follow your spirit. Your mind, you have to train your mind. That's everything we've been learning over the last several weeks, is seeking to train our minds to follow our spirit. So our minds are not leading the way. When we say take control of your headspace, that means your headspace is not leading the way. When we say brainwash your mind, that means your mind in its current state is not leading the way. Hallelujah. When we say flood the zone, that means your mind in its current state is not leading the way. When we say do the do's, your mind isn't the one determining the emotions, the desires of the mind are not the one determining what you do. It is your spirit that is determining that I'm going to do the do's of the word, regardless of how I feel about it, regardless of how my emotions feel about it. Hallelujah. This is so powerful. And the more you do it, the more your mind gets trained. Now, a lot of believers have been saved a long time. You can find even preachers of the word, who fail in what we're discussing tonight. Because they have never trained themselves to do what Jesus told Jairus to do. They've never disciplined their minds. They've never taken control of their headspace to the point where they determine their spirits are going to lead the way and their minds are going to follow. A lot of people, even pastors, not just believers, pastors who know the word, who preach the word every day, many times are ruled by their minds. Many times are directed by their minds, what they hear, what they see, the emotions they have, the thoughts they have. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's pain, sometimes it's hurt, sometimes it's disagreement and strife, sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's panic, and all sorts of things. All sorts of things. But they have never really trained their mind to follow. To follow. That is so important. This is so important. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Jesus said to Jairus, don't be seized with alarm, don't be struck with fear. Only keep on believing. So you make up, you determine, you know how we say to people, make up your mind. That means you make the decision. Don't let your mind make that decision. Because there's already fear in your mind. There's already anxiety, or there's hurt, or there's strife, or there's anger. No, don't let your mind lead the way. You have to train yourself in this. And sometimes it feels nice to give ourselves the liberty to let our minds, we just say, yes, but I'm a human being. I'm just saying what I feel, and I'm just responding. It may feel good to do that sometimes, but that will eventually hurt us. Because the work of elevation and the work of renovation that is supposed to happen in our minds are not happening. We're not training that mind. We're allowing that mind to run amok. We're allowing our mind to run helter-skelter and determine how we live our lives. And it may feel good for now, for a moment, but ultimately it hurts our progress. It hurts our prosperity. It hurts the inheritance that God wants to give to us. We've got to train that mind. We've got to train that mind. Somebody say with me, I'm committed to training that mind, and I will be diligent with it. I'll be diligent with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put a bridle over your mouth, put a filter on your ears, and then train your mind. Train your mind to follow your spirit. Train yourself to ignore a lot of things. Train yourself to reject certain things outright. But some things, train yourself to just ignore them like you didn't see them. You can see them, but you didn't see them. Train yourself. It will serve you well in your future, on your journey. It will serve you well. Until you do that, Satan has so much power over your mind that he's going to keep throwing all sorts of things at you, bouncing you up and down, making you live like a yo-yo. But when you begin to train yourself and take control and determine, hallelujah, determine what happens in your mind and how your mind follows your spirit, then glory to God. You're in a good place. I want us to add just a couple more things. So brainwash your mind with the truth of the word of God. Flood the zone of your mind with the word of God. Do the do's. Walk in complete obedience to every instruction that the word of God gives us. Take control of your headspace. Hallelujah. Sometimes cast down, sometimes reject, sometimes rebuke. 5, put a bridle over your mouth, put a filter over your ears, and train your mind to follow your spirit. Put a bridle over your mouth, put a filter over your ears, and train your mind to follow your spirit. And I want to add two last ones tonight, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to add just two last ones. Now, before I do that, you know, last week's message, as we were talking about, not focusing on what we see. The Bible says 2 Corinthians 4:18. Not focusing. Looking not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. Amen. But speaking the words, not of what we see, but speaking the words in line with the word of God for what we desire. Somebody say, Pastor, but doesn't that feel like I may be lying? No, you are not lying. You are calling the things, just like our Father, you are calling in Romans chapter 4:17, you are calling the things that be not as though they were. In Joel, let me read this real quickly before I try to bring this to a close tonight and give you my last 2 points here. In Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Bible doesn't say, let the weak say I'm weak. No. Joel chapter 3 verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. In fact, in the Amplified, it says, let the weak say, I am a strong warrior. I like that. Let the person who is feeling weak say, I am a strong warrior. I'm strong. I'm a warrior. Are you lying? No, you are not. You are calling the things that be not as though they were, and you are speaking over your mind so that your mind can go in the direction that the word of God needs it to go. The Bible doesn't say the poor should continue to say, I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke. No. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Amen. It doesn't say the sick should keep saying, I'm so sick, I'm so sick, I'm so tired, I'm so sick. No, I'm sick, I'm tired. No. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. Look at it. Joel chapter 3 verse 10. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the sick say I'm healed. Let the poor say I'm rich. Hallelujah. Let the sad say I'm happy, I'm full of joy. Let the disappointed say I'm full of praise. Hallelujah. Let those that are being attacked by fear say, I believe God for all things that he has promised. I believe God. Don't say those that are full of doubt and fear should say, I'm so full of doubt. I'm so full of, that's not what he said. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Because when the weak, even though they are feeling weak, when they begin to say, I'm strong, their mind hear it. And when their mind hear it, their mind begins to receive strength. You try this. This is another area where believers need to grow. Amen. It won't start out that way automatically. But you watch how you can change your mood. You know sometimes how people talk about their mood, what they feel, how they are emotionally. You can determine your mood. We are not always up and jumpy. We are not always happy and excited. But it is not the will of God for us either to be lowly, to feel forsaken and feel depressed and feel sad. No. So naturally, there will be times in our lives when those kind of feelings come. This is supposed to be a short one, to put a cap. And I'm going to keep it. I'm going to try to close this out. Got it. It's my cap, my night cap tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But this is good. I know the Holy Spirit is having me do this. I love it. I love it. But I'm going to put a cap on this. Is that when we speak those words and our minds hear those words, our minds begin to respond to those words. If when you are sad, you say, I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. When you feel weak, you say, I'm strong. You see, strength begins to come. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Hearing what you say, hearing what others say. Faith comes. Doubt comes in the same way. We've already studied this. Let the weak, Joel 3:10, let the weak say I'm strong. Say it, say I'm strong. Say it one more time. Say, I'm strong. Say it, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say one more time. Say, I'm a warrior. I'm a strong warrior. I'm full of joy. I'm full of faith. I believe. I believe for every good thing, every good promise that the Lord has made me. I believe. I believe. I don't have fear. I do not walk in fear. I believe. I believe. I believe. Glory to God. Let's give us two more just to close out. These are two that I'm not going to really elaborate on much. But number six, be diligent with this process. Everything we've discussed, be diligent with this process. Be diligent with this process and persevere through it until you begin to find yourself defaulting to God's thoughts and God's words in different areas of your life. Persevere, be diligent, until you begin to find yourself defaulting to the word of God and God's standard in these different areas of your life. You have to be diligent with it. You have to persevere. Hallelujah. Let's read as I close out here. Let's read, glory to God, in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read from verse 3, according as his power, divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, so that by this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So that means this is going to take some diligence. Our minds will not be automatically renovated because we heard a series of teachings for 7 months. No, we have to give all diligence. What does that word diligence mean? What does it mean? It means to make every effort to do one's best, to be eager and to do it quickly. In fact, in the original, it almost sounds like speed. Almost like speed. It's like somebody who is running to something, running to somewhere. Most runners, you know, don't quit halfway. Most runners don't give up before they get to the finish line. That word is almost the word diligence means I'm pressing and I'm pressing quickly to get somewhere. I'm giving it my best. I'm giving it everything I have to get there. The renovation of the mind requires diligence. We can't afford to fall off the cliff. We can't allow ourselves to go back where we used to be several months ago, several years ago. We can't make excuses. Now that we have received his revelation, we have to be diligent. Be diligent. Hallelujah. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. All these are renovated minds. These are the fruits of a renovated mind. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor fruitful, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they are in you and abound, if you keep adding, if you keep adding, if you keep renovating, if you keep renovating. But he who lacks these things, verse 9, is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fail. Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give all diligence. Pursue it diligently. Amen. That's number six. Diligently brainwash your mind. Diligently flood the zone. Diligently do the do's. Diligently take control of your headspace. Diligently put a bridle over your mouth. Put a filter over your ears. Train your mind to follow your spirit diligently, diligently. Be diligent, persevere. And then finally, number seven, make room in your heart and in your mind for every new, authentic, Holy Spirit-given revelation. that you receive. Make room. Every new authentic revelation you receive from the Holy Spirit, make room. You may have to test the Spirit. You may have to check that this is true from the Word. It agrees with the Word. You may have to be sure that this is in line with God's revelation. But once you've confirmed, make room in your heart and in your mind. Keep expanding your mind. Keep expanding your mind. Keep enlarging your capacity to receive and to grow and to be renovated by the Word of God. And if you do these things, like that scripture said, like Peter said to them, if these things be in you and they abound, if you do these things, you will never be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's going to be more to come. Some revision and then more to come as the Lord directs us. But glory to God. You stay the course. You stay diligent. You keep on renovating. You keep on growing. And you'll be elevated. You will abound. You'll succeed. You'll prosper. Our Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for your presence with us here again tonight. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. Thank you for these words that remain with us, that continue to elevate us, that continue to build us. I thank you, my God. I thank you, my God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I bless all of my brothers and sisters, everyone. I bless them tonight, them and their loved ones. I bless them. I bless them. That God, we will stay diligent, we'll persevere, we'll stay the course. We'll stay the course. And these words will enable us to abound in knowledge and in fruitfulness in this life, in this abundant life that our Lord Jesus Christ died to give to us. We thank you, Father. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Tonight, I can happily say we are not out of time, but we're closing. Glory to God. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. I'll see you again same time next week. Good night.